Larson pulls off the closest win in NASCAR history.
Honestly, really happy to be a part of a cool finish like that.
And it's another bitter disappointment for the Blue Oval gang.
Our team was celebrating down the backstretch, and don't we feel dumb now?
This is our top story. Coming up on Fast Talk, I'll be joined by Alexis Erickson and Brad Gilley.
It's Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network, presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. Sunoco. Whether you're headed to the track or just hitting the road, fill up with Sunoco Ultratech. Now here's your host for Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
It was a big weekend for close finishes in races. Saturday, if you happened to watch the 150th run for the Roses, the Kentucky Derby, the winner won literally by a nose. NASCAR, not to be outdone, sees Kyle Larson win by the narrowest margin in the history of NASCAR Cup Series racing. Hi, I'm Doug Rice, joined by Alexis Erickson and Brad Gilley. And Alexis, this seems to be a regular happening now in NASCAR. We set a new record, and it doesn't stand up very long before we have the next closest finish with Larson edging out Chris Buescher.
You know what my initial thoughts were after yesterday? And you'd think I would have maybe had these thoughts before now, because you're right, it is becoming a more regular occurrence that we have these really close finishes on these mile-and-a-half tracks. Is 5 years ago, do we think we would ever have a driver getting out of their car and say, give me more intermediate tracks, give me more 1.5 mile tracks, or fans clamoring, for these races that we used to say, wow, we've got way too many of these tracks on the circuit. Now it's like, give me more, because they are. This next gen car, this Gen 7 car, it has some things that we need to work on, and we know what they are: short tracks, road courses, but it shines. It shines so bright on these mile and a half tracks and gives us such great finishes. And Kansas was another glowing example of that.
Brad, Alexis has me thinking it used to be the bane of NASCAR's existence, the so-called cookie cutter racetracks. But whatever they're cutting out of the dough right now is really paying off.
I've said for a long time, look, there is a reason that in 1996 they built Las Vegas Motor Speedway. In 97 they built Texas and Auto Club Speedway. 2001, Kansas Speedway, Chicago Speedway. All of these mile-and-a-half to two-mile tracks were built in the late 90s and early 2000s because that's what people loved. That's where the great racing was. And the tracks didn't necessarily evolve. Some of them have. But what's really evolved is the race car and the way we do things. And now NASCAR, one of the things they highlighted with this next-gen car, we're going to have a shorter tail section and rear quarter panel, so you don't have this big parachute where drivers are allowed to save the car and all of that. Plus all of the other things that they've done underneath aerodynamically. Yeah, to Alex's point, it's really favored the mile-and-a-half tracks, and now they're back in vogue, which is a really cool thing. But great facilities as well. We're pretty lucky. I mean, look, we've got another one coming up here in just a couple of weeks with the Coca-Cola 600. Looking forward to seeing what happens there. And I'm just kind of happy we have what we have. And three finishes this year between Cup and Xfinity measured at 2/1000ths of a second or better. That's incredible.
That's at Atlanta, Texas, and now, of course, Kansas Speedway pays off in a big way with Kyle Larson winning again. His career total is starting to inch on up there, and we still don't have a clear picture of the playoffs. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But setting this up, we had a late race caution involving Kyle Busch. It looked like it was going to go to the wire with a duel between Denny Hamlin and Martin Truex Jr. Everybody decides to pit. They come in. And then that shuffles the deck and allows Larson to make the pass coming off of turn four. Really not make the pass, but get in position to nose out Chris Buescher at the start-finish line. Obviously, a lot of confusion because NASCAR's official scoring and timing showed that Chris Buescher had won the race, and Larson went through a lot of emotions after he crossed the line.
Said, I'm going crazy, screaming, you know, banging my head off the headrest, all that, just, you know, going nuts. Look ahead, I'm like Buescher's on the front stretch. I'm like, gosh, I hope they didn't like reverse the call or whatever. And I'm over here looking like an idiot.
Alexis, I'm sure you took in the race like most of us did. If you weren't there, you were probably watching it on Fox. What was your initial response when you saw them get to the line?
To be honest, I thought it was Buescher, but I don't know if it's because of what I saw, because, you know, it happened so quickly, or if it's because immediately timing and scoring said, oh, well, it's Buescher. And I've come to, anyway, over the years, trust that, you know, knows down to even a 1,000th of a second that, you know, what is right and what is wrong. Clearly, they needed to go to the tape, if you will, and look at this kind of high-resolution photo system that they have that shows exactly where the start-finish line is, takes very high-speed pictures, and they could tell that it was actually Larson by a nose. And the funny thing is that's actually the same technology that they used in the Kentucky Derby the day before.
Brad Gilley, I've learned not to speculate because I thought Ryan Blaney had won the race earlier this year at Atlanta. What were you thinking as you watched them before, you know, that little bit of a delay there till we actually knew that Kyle Larson had won the race?
Well, you know, same as what Alexis said and a lot of people thought. You know, first I'm looking at it and thinking to myself, you've got to be kidding me. We have another finish this close. And, you know, you watch it and you don't know. You see Fox's replay and things like that. But to Alexis' point, the timing and scoring showed what it showed. And I trust the timing and scoring. I trust that, you know, that those scoring loops were measured exactly 14 and a half feet behind the start-finish line. And this is what we got. But I also trust that NASCAR wanted to make sure they got it right. And I think the moment for me is television cut to a shot of Cliff Daniels on the pit box. And he was like, hang on a second. Like, you could almost see, like, joy start to bubble up inside of him that, wait, this might not be a second-place finish for us. This might actually be a win. And then they declared it, and NASCAR, a little while later, pushed out that high-speed camera photo finish on social media, showing where the line was and the difference between the two of them. You know, what's most important is that they got it right, and I thought it was kind of cool. But the way that went, and to really see the transition of emotions that were going on between the RFK team and their celebration, then their deflation, and then what happened between Kyle Larson's team and seeing Cliff Daniels up there thinking, wait, we might have this. Everyone hang on just a second. I thought that was really, really cool.
And, of course, we heard from Larson a moment ago, the victor. Here's the vanquished in Chris Buescher.
Thought we had it. Staring at the scoring pile on. Our team was celebrating down the backstretch, and don't we feel dumb now? I've seen the photo a couple times. The quality is so bad, I can't see anything. It just – I don't get the – scoring, saying we got it, and then changing up. At this point, I just feel like I'm complaining, but I am. I'm pissed off about it, and to be that close and think you had it. You know, it's not like, you know, it was 6 inches and we know we lost it. It really felt like we were in the hunt there.
The closest margin of victory in the history of the NASCAR Cup Series. Brad Gilley, I would like to see from NASCAR incorporated with the TV networks a better way for us to visualize who wins these races. I don't know if you do that with a laser or what works, but something better than what we were given yesterday to look at over and over again, as Alexis, I think, said, blurry images. There's got to be a better way for us to know automatically, because this is going to happen again.
Well, look, a couple of things here. Yes, with the high-speed camera, and that takes pictures at 6,000 to 8,000 frames per second, you see the cars frozen, but you don't see any definition on the track other than the line that they draw. And then when we watch it on television and see the freeze frame, we realize that someone was coloring outside the lines when the start-finish line was repainted. They have to do better with that. And then with the timing and scoring, that should be pretty precision right there. And granted, they were nose-to-nose, but I think there are a lot of things that need to be looked at, remeasured, to make sure that everything is accurate. Say with the Sam Mayer win at Texas, or with the Daniel Suarez win at Atlanta Motor Speedway, timing and scoring was accurate on that. Now, the difference in those two wins versus yesterday's was 1,000th of a second, but still, I think they need to probably go back and look at not just Kansas, but all of their tracks and make sure things are not in question when they happen.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I think the biggest thing to take away from yesterday is that they need to figure out a way that timing and scoring is the absolute, right? I mean, because
yes.
that's what everybody's going off of. That's what your broadcasters are going off of. That's what people in the media center are going off of. That's what the teams on pit road are going off of. And I understand you have to have these fail safes, like these high speed cameras, to go back and say, okay, well, let's double check that. But I have to think that in all cases, timing scoring has to be the most accurate portrayal of what's happening on the racetrack.
In today's world, with the tech that we have available to us, there is 0.001 reasons that shouldn't be exact.
Agree.
And correct every time. Top five at Kansas. Kyle Larson wins again. Chris Buescher, a disappointing second. Chase Elliott, he continues to trend upward, was third. Fourth to Martin Truex Jr. and Denny Hamlin was fifth. Let's give you the Toyota performance report. All in all, not a really bad day for the Toyotas. Martin Truex Jr. was fourth. Fifth went to Denny Hamlin. Sixth to Christopher Bell. John Hunter Nemechek, pretty representative day, was 13th. 17th to Bubba Wallace. I thought we'd see more out of him. Tyler Reddick was 20th, and 22nd to Corey Heim. That is our Toyota performance report. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. Before we jump off of this, our sample size of Corey Heim and Cup is only a couple of races. Alexis, I'll start with you. Impressed?
Yeah, I mean, certainly he was put into a situation where he wasn't expecting, you know, a kind of last minute thing like, hey, we need you to step up and do this. And he's been able to keep it in one piece, run all the laps. And I think that is, you know, the best education you can have as a rookie in a brand new car.
Brad Gilley, Corey Heim substituting for your main man, Eric Jones. Thoughts?
I'm wildly impressed. And look, there are two drivers right now in the truck series, and they finished first and third at Kansas Speedway in the truck race over the weekend. Corey Heim and Christian Eckes, those are two drivers we're going to be talking about for a long time. But to be able to step up, even though you knew you were going to be the relief driver and have done all the simulation all year long and all of that, I give him a lot of credit for, again, like Alexis said, he kept it between the lines, kept his head down, and just put together some great races.
Next week, when NASCAR heads to Darlington, or actually at the end of this week when they head to Darlington, it'll be race 13, which means we'll be halfway home in the regular season. Let's talk points and who looks good and who feels good and who's still worried.
This NASCAR season, Toyota Racing isn't looking for just anyone to join the team. No, we're looking for bankers, the ones who are open on Sundays.
So if you live for the gravity-defying 31-degree banks like this one on Turn 4 at Daytona,
then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places.
NASCAR is a registered trademark of National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Inc.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up on your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
I'm Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Time to pull down on the handle and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side, they get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe.
Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
right, quick math lesson. Not exactly my strong suit, but there are 26 races in NASCAR's regular season, then followed by 10 playoff races to ultimately decide the championship. When we race at Darlington this Sunday, that will mark race number 13, which, according to my very rudimentary mathematics skills, will put us halfway through the NASCAR regular season. To this point, we have locked in 7 drivers as far as the playoffs are concerned, and they are Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin, Christopher Bell, William Byron got in early on by winning the Daytona 500. Daniel Suarez also got in, and Tyler Reddick. And those 7 drivers, barring some sort of miraculous comeback that gives us an incredible number of winners, are locked into the playoffs. I have a question that I want to ask for Alexis and Brad. Winning pretty much this year is going to ensure you make the playoffs. Doesn't look like we're going to have this huge number of teams winning, and then there'll be a scramble at the end, or somebody that maybe won a race is going to get bumped out. Give me your lock, Alexis. Not that they could win. There are a lot of teams that could win a race. But out of the 7 that we've already named, give me a driver that will win a race this year in the regular season and lock themselves into the playoffs.
Well, I just have to say first, thank you so much for allowing me to go before Brad, because there is only one driver that I would, and we talked about this in the break, there's only one driver that I'd really bet, like, my own personal money on will win in the next 13 races, and that's Martin Truex Jr. I mean, he has been there. He, you know, if circumstances had been different yesterday and we hadn't got that late race caution, he would have run up there, caught Denny Hamlin, and we would have been talking about a Martin Truex Jr. win today, in my opinion. So he is, as you like to say, Doug, a mortal lock, I think, to win in the regular season and thus make it into the playoffs. I don't know if there's anybody else on the running order that I'm willing to put that much behind as far as winning this season. Brad?
All right, Brad, I ask a lot here. We ask a lot. Now we have 8 drivers that are going to be in the playoffs, with Alexis adding Martin Truex Jr. Who are you putting on this list?
You know, I don't know that we'll have more than 8 winners. I don't know that I can I take none?
Yeah, if you feel if that you're way.
You know what? Then I'll take none, because I can make a case why some could win. But if you're asking for a mortal lock, I don't think that I have one right now. I just simply don't. I'm not trying to cop out, but, you know, is Joey Logano running good enough to do that? You know, can you guarantee that Chastain's going to step up at Darlington or Nashville, where he won last year at Nashville? Don't know. Is our champion Ryan Blaney? Go look at the tracks that we have ahead of us. There's not many of them that he's even led that many laps until we get into the playoffs. So I don't know that I have a mortal lock right now. I don't think I can actually commit to one.
So, Brad, you think it would be reasonable then, by what you're saying there, that we may only have 7 winners this year, and this group of 7 just keeps churning them over and over? Actually, I think that's probably a group of 6. I don't think Suarez on a weekly basis is a threat to win more races.
The way things are looking right now, I would say yes. Do I think we'll only have 7? No, I think we'll have more, because circumstances will dictate, whether it is a couple of road course events like Sonoma and the Chicago Street Course. We still have Daytona, which is actually going to be the 2nd race before the end of the regular season. I mean, there are a lot of variables that could come into play. And look, I don't think anyone expected Chris Buescher to be going toe-to-toe at the line with eventual winner Kyle Larson. But I don't think I could sit here today and say definitively this person is going to win in the next 14 races.
I tend to concur, but Alexis, the result of that foreshadowing down the road would be, when we get into the last 2 or 3 races of the regular season, we're going to have this wild dogfight in points to battle to get in. And actually, I think that's more exciting than saying, okay, there's only 2 slots left and somebody's got to go out and win a race to take one of those.
I agree 1,000%. I mean, obviously, it's kind of the yin and the yang, right? Because like you like to see a lot of different winners in the regular season because that's exciting too. You know, when you get a lot of different winners and it isn't just JGR and HMS winning every race except for super speedways. But it can also be extremely exciting when you get down to the last few races in the regular season and you've got, you know, a six person swing either way in a tight points battle. So I think probably where we sit right now, we're more likely to see that scenario, the latter scenario, than we are, you know, a whole bunch of different winners in the next 13 races.
I like what I'm hearing there, Brad. I've got to agree. I would like to be watching the race or calling it in person and seeing the highlighted names moving up and down the scoring as the race unfolds. And one lap you're in and the next lap you're out. I love that kind of drama. I feel like that's where we're headed for the end of the regular season.
Yeah, I think so, too. And again, Daytona has been the regular season finale for quite a few years now. And I think that was a genius move based on the way we have a schedule this year with the Olympics break and all of that. I get that it can't be the final race of the regular season, but Darlington is right now. And that's going to be interesting because now what strategy choices are crew chiefs going to have? What are some of the different things that we're going to be looking at? And then some of those other races that are going to be leading up to it. I mean, Michigan could become much more exciting in Pocono. And look, we're back on the oval at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You know, that in and of itself is going to be, I want to win on the Indy Oval probably more than I want to win my way into the playoffs, or at least just as much as something like that. So a lot of cool things happening. And look, if we have movement in the point standings, that's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, look, Joey Logano won the championship 2 years ago, and he's on the outside looking in right now. And right now, the bubble between Brad Keselowski, who's in, and Bubba Wallace, who's out, 4 points. You know, I think we're going to maintain a lot of this and see a lot more movement here in the next 14 races as well, which is going to make that very interesting.
I think that's a great point, too, to make, is that not only are we going to see points battle become big, but it's with heavy hitters. I mean, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, past champions. I mean, it's not going to be, you know, some rookies or second year sophomore drivers that, you know, we're trying to point their way in. It's going to be your heavyweights that you're used to seeing have a win and already be in that are going to be racing for points.
I'm excited about the prospect of this coming down. We've had good races this year. We've had a lot of wonderful finishes, and I want to see that mad scramble. Not trying to get too far ahead, but folks, we're at, after this next week, we will be halfway through the regular season. That's a big chunk of races that will already be filed away, and where better than the lady in black to demark the halfway point. Ford. We've not talked much about Ford this year because they have not done a lot. We'll talk about the fate of the Blue Oval next.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-748-0593. 800-748-0593. 800-748-0593. That's 800-748-0593.
I'm Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Hey, I'm Corley Joy for Speedway Children's Charities. The mission for Speedway Children's Charities has remained true since its founding almost 40 years ago, to care for children in educational, financial, social, and medical needs in order to help them lead happy and productive lives. So many children have benefited from our group in the past, but we need your help now more than ever. There's so much we can do when we all join together, so let's start today. Visit SpeedwayCharities.org to learn more. I thank you in advance for your help.
It's Fast Talk here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. I'm Doug Rice, joined by Alexis Erickson and Brad Gilley. NASCAR, of course, has three manufacturers that compete regularly on the NASCAR Cup Series: Chevrolet, Toyota, and Ford. In the results this year and in victory lane, only two of those makes have shown up. That has been Toyota and Chevrolet. Ford has been shut out across the board. And I want to break that down and see if there's anybody. We got very close to seeing a Ford win at Kansas, but at the end of it, Chris Buescher gets edged out by Kyle Larson. Brad Gilley, right now, out of every team that is out there, taking a look at Stuart Haas Racing, Front Row Motorsports, Penske, all the folks that run Fords, including Roush Fenway Keselowski, is there any Ford driver right now that you think represents a serious threat to win the title?
Oh, man. Right now, no. But we still, you know, we're only a third of the way into the season total. But no, I don't see anyone that's a threat to win the title. I mean, you got to go back and look at probably, to me, what is one of the most important factors in all of this. And it's not necessarily top 10, top five finishes. Outside of wins, it's laps led. And they are very deficient in that category right now. And you're going to have to go out there and lead laps consistently if you want to go out there and contend for the title.
Yeah, usually leading laps helps you win races. Alexis, same question. Is anybody in this camp ready to step up and challenge the Chevys and the Toyotas?
I wish I could say yes in a definitive way for any of them. I mean, look, you know, somebody shared on X last night after the race that all of these close finishes that we have had a Ford involved in second place, so close to getting to victory lane and just not making it happen. Obviously, Chris Buescher was the latest in the line of Fords to be just, you know, a nose away from victory. So it's going to happen, and it's most likely going to happen soon. But to say that any of those drivers right now are favorites or even close to favorites to run for a championship or make the final four, I can't. There's just no line that I can draw to any one of them in a favorable way right now when you have the behemoths of Joe Gibbs Racing and Hendrick Motorsports standing in their way.
And maybe we talked about this before we went on the air. Brad Gilley mentioned it. Maybe the best Ford driver at the moment might be Noah Gregson. And he's
consistent. Yeah. Maybe the most consistent.
Yeah, he's knocking down some top tens right now. But Brad, let me throw this into the mix because you talked about Joey Logano a moment ago saying he's 4 points out of the playoffs right now. And that's really early, but that's not where he wants to be. He does not have a win. But you look back at the last 2 years and Blaney won by getting hot in the playoffs. He got in and he won a couple of races. And next thing you know, he's the champion. Joey Logano pretty much did the same thing. So, Brad, is that fool's gold, or is that real hope that maybe a Ford driver or two could get hot toward the end?
Well, look, the way a NASCAR season goes, we usually talk about what happens up until the Coca-Cola 600, and that's one mini season. And once we start the Coca-Cola 600, we start the second half of the regular season. The summer months usually change things up quite a bit. Now, if you have a Denny Hamlin, a Kyle Larson, a William Byron out there winning races, typically those drivers stay consistent, but we start to see a little more movement throughout the field. And then obviously come playoffs time, that is a big, big deal. 2 years ago, Joey Logano stepped up. Last year, Logano and Blaney went into the playoffs only +8 above the cut line, and I didn't think Blaney was actually going to make it out of the first round. Turns out Logano didn't make it out of the first round, and the pendulum swung in Blaney's direction when it counted. There's a lot of racing to go, and a lot of things can happen between now and then, but my gosh, right now, you know, it's one thing to sit there and say, well, Logano's knocking down some top five finishes, but he's just not there. He was having struggles getting in the top 20 yesterday and really running there. And I think that's a really tough thing to see, that it's not even that you're running okay. You're running mediocre right now, and they've got to find something.
You know, it's funny because sitting there listening to Brad, I was thinking to myself, he's so right. There's so many things that can happen that we cannot foresee. Like us in the media, we like to think that we can predict or we know what might happen next. We talk about it. We make a living out of it, but right. We really don't. I mean, when he talks about, you know, thinking Blaney wasn't going to make it out of the first round and he ends up the champion. I mean, we all have things like that we can trace back. Well, we thought this was going to happen and it didn't. So if you're a Ford fan out there and you're seeing all this happen and you're thinking, oh man, it's going to be a dismal year, things can change, you know, on a dime as early as next week. And we could see Ford go on, a winning streak that we hadn't seen in the first 12 races. Do I think that's going to happen? Not really, but it certainly could. So that's what makes it fun, right?
I think so. I mean, I'm not going to go out and say they're going to get shut out for the year.
I cannot see that happening.
Circumstances will play. You might have a high attrition race somewhere.
Yep.
Could be at Darlington this weekend because you go down there, a lot of folks start that race that aren't around at the end of 400 miles. So that could be an opportunity for a Ford to win. But, Brad, they picked a heck of a year to call their Mustang the Dark Horse.
What a cool name for a race car. And it's just not delivering what's it. Well, they've made themselves a dark horse, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Maybe it is delivering too much.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally living up to its name. But, you know, last year, here's another key thing to point out. Last year, Joey Logano won at Atlanta Motor Speedway. We now consider that a speedway race that has the same randomness as Daytona and Talladega. Their next win didn't come until Ryan Blaney won the Coca-Cola 600. And we talked about how soft they were last year as well, but they did have a win, you know, so that changed the narrative up just a little bit. You know, now do we have to wait till the Coca-Cola 600 for one of them go to Victory Lane? Is it going to happen at Gateway after that? Or, you know, are we going to go to Sonoma Raceway? I mean, who knows when it's going to happen?
I can see a scenario that says that maybe only one Ford team gets a win this year.
Potentially.
Maybe Penske, maybe RFK.
Organization. Yeah.
Maybe Penske because it's Penske.
Sure.
And they have always done things right. Maybe RFK, Chris Buescher came within literally an eyelash of winning. I don't see Front Row Motorsports winning unless it's
Super Speedway.
But that, we can say that about everybody
in the
field,
that are
right?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. We can say that pretty much about every other car. Well, they could win at Daytona or Talladega, or maybe Atlanta. You throw that in there. But outside of that, I don't see Front Row winning a race. I don't see Stuart Haas winning a race. And we just talked about Noah Gregson being improved and trending up. But there's a lot. The gap between improved and trending up, guys, is mammoth.
And being a threat to win.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think if I had to choose an organization, I would probably choose Penske, and then my second would be RFK. I mean, look at how close RFK has been. Brad Keselowski has finished runner-up a handful of times this season. We saw, you know, Chris Buescher comes oh so close at Kansas. So between those two organizations, if I had to pick one to be the first to get Ford in victory lane, it would come from one of those two for sure.
Brad, can one of these other Ford teams, an outlier, give them a win, or does it have to come from – probably Penske.
Yeah, I would say Penske or RFK. And truthfully, I feel a little more likely that it would be Penske. But gosh, there are a lot of things I still worry about. You know, when Ryan Blaney won his way into the championship round last year, all of a sudden he became the favorite because the Fords had been really good on short tracks. Well, we've had a good handful of short track looks already between Martinsville, Bristol, and Richmond Raceway, and they hadn't even stepped up there. But to Alex's point earlier, it just seems like Penske, they've got a lot behind them, and they have a long, long history of consistently winning year over year. So if I had to pick one, it would be them.
Coming up next, the famous Lady in Black, the track Too Tough to Tame, and we'll talk a little Darlington, and after that, it'll be time for green flags and black flags, and then one last thing as we roll through the latest episode of Fast Talk.
This is NASCAR racer Michael Waltrip with Echo Park, the official used car of Speedway Motorsports. I'm inviting you to Echo Park's Coffee Cup Series. This NASCAR season, me and Echo Park will be arriving to the tracks early to meet fans over a cup of coffee and check out some of their cars. Plus, you can win a VIP ticket upgrade and ride in the pace car. Woo-hoo-hoo. Talk about a whole new meaning to pre-race jitters. Echo Park, every car, happy owner.
Hey, race fans. You may have seen that the 2024 NASCAR schedule includes an earlier trip to New Hampshire Motor Speedway. New England's only NASCAR weekend is moving up 3 weeks. This just means that we have less time to wait until we welcome you back to the Magic Mile for a wicked fast, wicked fun weekend of thrilling on-track action. Keep an eye on NHMS.com and stay tuned for more updates as we count down to New England's only NASCAR weekend, June 21st through the 23rd, right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway.
I'm Kyle Busch, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Dale Earnhardt, he's almost been deified. There's a mystique about him that's never been attached to any other driver, including your dad.
I think there's two things for Dale Earnhardt that make him who he is. He was that guy that your neighbor. I don't care if you live in a mobile home. I don't care if you live in a mansion. He's that guy that was your neighbor. He's the guy that was out in his yard planting his plants. He's the guy that was out there mowing. He's the guy that was out there doing it. He's the guy that drove the truck. He's the guy that got up under the car and changed the gear. He's the guy that put on a uniform and jumped in that car and became your hero on a Sunday afternoon. And you could identify with that. He's really that last guy. And he is, in the words of Tom Wolfe, last great American hero, the book that was written about Junior Johnson. He is that last guy to a lot of people. And he was going to have that following no matter what. It moved to a different level because of what happened at Daytona. Billy Joel, only the good die young. And that's the way you remember it. So I think that moves you to a different place too.
In some ways, I think all other track promoters are insanely jealous of the folks at Darlington. They have two great nicknames for one speedway. The Lady in Black, because she's so sinister, and tears up cars, and you get the Darlington Stripe. Even their wrecks have their own marquee names. And if you don't get that, you get the track Too Tough to Tame. There used to be a gentleman that ran the sales department here at Charlotte Motor Speedway named Jim Duncan. And Jim jokingly would say about Charlotte Motor Speedway, it's the track too tough to name because...
Oh, that's awesome.
They have tried over and over again to pin a nickname to CMS. Some better than others.
We've talked about nicknames, though, in different ways. Driver nicknames, track nicknames. It just has to be organic.
Say it.
Know you hate that word.
I do hate that word.
But it just has to fit. If you force it, it is not going to work.
No, Brad, that is true. And they have just been blessed that, I don't know, probably some newspaper writer back in the day came up with both of these.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, it is cool. Like you said, the track Too Tough to Tame, the Lady in Black. Although for Charlotte, I love that they settled on America's Home for Racing. I think that's about the most accurate and true nickname, and it sounds pretty cool too. But you earn a nickname, and that's what Darlington has done. They've earned this nickname, and it doesn't matter whether the start-finish line is where it is now or when it was on the other side of the racetrack, under the different grandstand configuration. Darlington is one of those tracks that is always anticipated, and if we have a true test of man and machine, it's Darlington Raceway and it's Charlotte Motor Speedway. Really, those
true.
Two races, with the Coca-Cola 600 being a true endurance race and what we have, the Southern 500 coming up in the fall at Darlington being a true endurance race, these are the only two races, two tracks to me on the schedule that truly harken back to, whatever you want to call the good old days in NASCAR and so on and so forth. I think we're living those right now too, by the way. But that's the one thing I really love about this track, and they're earned nicknames.
Well, they'll have a throwback weekend. We'll see a lot of cool paint schemes reflective of cars in the past. They always do that. It gets harder and harder because a lot of the low-hanging fruit has been picked and already transferred to these cars. But Alexis, to Brad's point a moment ago about heritage races, look at the next three venues where NASCAR goes, and it's like an homage to their past. We're in Darlington this weekend, throwback weekend. Then we pack up and go to North Wilkesboro for the All-Star race, and then it's to Charlotte for the Coca-Cola 600. That's a lot of NASCAR history.
I mean, history, tradition. Yeah. When you think about Darlington and Charlotte specifically, the races that we have been given this year, especially with this car, those two races, Charlotte mostly look to play out in a fantastic way, set up great for this next gen car, Gen 7 car. Looking really forward to that. North Wilkesboro is such a fantastic event, and the town of North Wilkesboro, Wilkes County, everybody gets around it. That is going to be another spectacular event. So you're right. I mean, in the next 3 weeks, because we've come off of this, you know, and I hate to say that, you know, and I know Brad is forever the optimist, and we always like to talk about all the great things, but we've come off of this stretch of short tracks and a few road courses that just haven't given us what we've wanted. And I think that the month of May is going to give us spectacular racing and really feed our need for what we want to see on the racetrack.
I'll be curious to see the racing on the freshly repaved North Wilkesboro Speedway. Last year, Kyle Larson started back, didn't take any time at all to get up to the front and kind of put the sleeper hold on the field. Brad, I'm looking at Darlington this weekend, and my eye automatically just goes to the guy that's won there the most and is winning a bunch this year, and that's Denny Hamlin. Is he in line to maybe pick up win number five there?
I think there are a handful of drivers that we should be talking about. And look, we talked last week, too. I'm a big fan of rivalries, and feuds and rivalries are different things. Right now, we have a Denny Hamlin-Kyle Larson rivalry going. Denny Hamlin threw out his shot at Dover most recently. And then last week, yesterday at Kansas Speedway, it was Kyle Larson driving into victory lane. We saw those two drivers fighting for the win last year, but we also saw Ross Chastain in the mix. We've seen William Byron in the mix, and I know we talked about Fords earlier. Joey Logano's been in the mix at Darlington during the next-gen era. But I think if you had to say Denny Hamlin for Darlington, absolutely, put him on your list. I think you can say the same about Larson and Chastain as well.
You know, and I know Brad's going to love this, but and I feel like this is somebody who has always done so well in equipment that we would never expect. But you have to look at Eric Jones when you go to Darlington. Even in the situation he's in with his back, they rested him an extra week, in Kansas so that he could be as ready as he absolutely needs to be for Darlington. That is a special place for him, and he can run that place just as well, if not better, than anybody else. And so I think if you're going to have a dark horse, you have got to put Eric Jones on that list.
Two-time winner at Darlington, and I am glad. Sometimes NASCAR makes decisions, and I kind of shrug my shoulders and wonder. I'm really glad that Darlington still has two dates. I think that's key, that restoring that second date there. If you want to keep your heritage as a big part of your sport, we need to be there twice a year. Coming up, our green flags and black flags.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 800-397-6805. 800-397-6805. 800-397-6805. That's 800-397-6805.
I'm Martin Truex Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
Here's Christopher Bell.
My Toyota Camry TRD race car isn't cheap to build and prepare. I have a pit crew that maintains and fixes my equipment. I have a spotter high above the track watching my back, talking me through turns and potential dangers on the track. I physically train to handle the stress of driving. And I have software helping my crew chief and engineers make the right strategy calls. And with all this, I never take my eyes off the road, and neither should you. One distraction can change everything in one instant.
Before we jump into Green Flag, Black Flag, always a high note of this radio show. Brad Gilley, you and I were talking yesterday, and you were saying there are some fairly big names that need to win to guarantee themselves a spot in the All-Star race and skip the open event to try to get in. So who amongst the best-known drivers is on that list?
Well, think about this. Bubba Wallace did not win a race last year. He's not guaranteed a spot. Ty Gibbs, I know there's a lot of talk about him. While he's not yet a winner in the NASCAR Cup Series, he is one of those drivers. Another proven winner, Alex Bowman, he's not on the list of drivers who have locked themselves into the All-Star race. I mean, there's a good handful of them, which I do feel is going to make the Open very, very exciting this upcoming weekend. Could also make Darlington very, very exciting on Sunday.
All right, so we'll see how that plays out, and if any of those slots do get filled, I think the drivers that Brad just mentioned are all going to have to go and compete in the Open if they want to play in the All-Star race. Let's jump off right here.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
A game where there are no cash prizes, we award no points. Why do we do this? Because it's fun. That's it. That's all there is to it.
Because it's what the people want.
It is what they demand. You're right. All right. We're going to read various statements here. If our panel agrees with the statements, they will give it a green flag, and we will do this. If they disagree with the statement, the dreaded black flag. I'm going to start with Brad Gilley today because we haven't done that in a long time. Here we go. Brad, this will always be the closest finish.
I will say black flag.
Whoa.
Look, I know it's taken us 76 years to get to a finish of 1/1000th of a second, but as Alexis said earlier, I am forever the optimist. I want more, and I think we'll get more of them.
All right, Doug Rice.
Actually, don't you want to say we'll get less? If you want a closer finish than one, I don't like saying that word, 1,000.
One one-thousandth of a second.
I don't know how you get less because they only go 3 decimal points.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
In timing and scoring.
Yeah, if you can't get more.
I think less is a tie.
Yes.
So do we want a tie? I don't think we want a tie.
I want more of these
finishes. I really do.
You do?
That would be awesome.
Okay.
I mean, that would be just debated for the centuries.
Well, sure, yeah.
But the statement is, this will always be the closest finish.
Yes.
Do you think that will ever happen?
Yes, green flag.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to say green flag, too, because, again, as I mentioned before, I think, you know, anything short of this would be a tie. So we'll see what happens, but I don't see us tying anytime soon.
All right, here we go to Doug Rice. Someone other than JGR or Hendrick will win this weekend in Darlington.
Ooh. Black flag.
I knew you were going to do that.
It's just not there.
Yeah.
Maybe a Penske Ford. No, that's not going to happen. 2311. No, they're having troubles. No. It's black flag.
What do you think, Alexis?
Yeah, I'm going to go black flag, and I'm going to call my shot. It's going to be Denny Hamlin in victory lane.
Oh, all right. Brad Gilley.
I cannot call the same shot as Alexis called, ever, for what it's worth, by the way.
But Sounds like Boyer and Harvick in the Fox booth.
Yeah, but when the question was posed, I almost laughed out loud. Black flag. No, not going to happen.
No. All righty. Here we go. Number three, we go to Alexis Erickson. After Kansas, let's add more 1.5 mile tracks to the schedule?
I mean, oh gosh, that's a really hard question because part of me wants to say green flag, but then also part of me wants to say black flag. I'm going to stick with black flag. And the reason why is because variety is the spice of life, right? If all we ever had was mile and a half, you know, potentially maybe it wouldn't be what we want it to be. But right now, they're great. And 5 years from now, they might not be. And then where would we, you know, we'd be in a hole. So I'm going to say black flag.
All right. Brad, let me read it again. I didn't read it very well last time. After Kansas, let's add more 1.5 mile tracks to the schedule.
I will agree and say black flag. And I'm with Alexis. Variety is the spice of life. Look, there are people who are saying, well, let's just go back and race on the oval at Charlotte and fall instead of the Roval. Hey, look, I'm sure Charlotte is going to be awesome for the Coca-Cola 600. But I love the variety of the Roval. And just because we have something cool right now doesn't mean we need to have 100 things of the same. I like something different. Mm-hmm.
Doug Rice.
You know, Kentucky Speedway is sitting there. I think it's got a bunch of UPS trucks parked on it.
Hey, now.
Just saying. It's there. It's close to Louisville. They have a lot of bourbon.
Yeah.
Oh, and
We've had fun in Kentucky. Good. So, you know.
Yeah. Fun Tucky, I think that's what they call it. So,
yeah.
No. Black flag.
Okay.
I'm going to go with what Alexis and Brad said. It's good what it is right now.
Yeah.
And keep it scarce. You know, it's like selling out an event, and then immediately you want to turn around and build more seats. We don't need seats, and I think we are in a good spot, though. It is funny how the worm has turned and the mile and a half to the new darling.
All righty. You want to do one more? Got time for one more?
Sure.
Let's do one more. Here's a bonus. Perhaps the best unused slogan for a track is, you can buy a seat here, but you won't need it.
No.
Has that ever been used?
I've heard that a lot. You know, they paid for a seat,
right?
But they're only sitting on the edge of it, or something like that.
I mean, I think it's a little long.
Yeah, a little wordy.
You know, we've got to be, brevity is key in this in this department. But yeah, I like it.
All right, Brad, do you warm up to that at all?
Yes, I'll say black flag. I love the idea, but to Alex's point, if we can make it a little more efficient. And an economy of words there, and have it something that is just catchy, then I'm all in. But for that one, I'm black flagging.
You know, I've heard Pat Patterson use that phrase. So I thought that's where I got it.
So Pat's used that on the broadcast.
Yes, he has. Uh-huh. Yes, he has.
But Pat has a unique style.
He sure does.
Those kind of things.
Love Pat.
Now, if you've ever listened to a PRN broadcast, Pat Patterson usually calls turns 3 and 4. And Brad, you may know this. He refers to sayings that his Uncle Chick says.
Yep.
Is there an Uncle Chick, or is that just
I don't believe there
Patterson
is an Uncle Chick.
Okay.
My Uncle Chick used to tell me that blah, 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 and it is just one of those things that I can't stop smiling. I'm not going to say laughing, because like when he refers to Uncle Chick, it's very accurate to the moment, and it builds up my anticipation. It makes me not want to sit in that seat that I bought, but stand up or be on the edge of it.
I will say this. When we were at Dover a couple of weeks ago, big crowd there, those folks were into the race. They were standing up. Brad, you could see it too. You were down in the infield pretty much the whole race. And on a restart, they were up for 15 laps. It was good to see that kind of energy back at a racetrack.
Yeah,
and that energy really is infectious throughout the entire stadium. I mean, you could feel that everywhere. I'm sure the drivers could feel it in their race cars as well. And that energy really started before they got into the grandstands. We talked about this, about what an amazing midway and fan zone that they had with all of the other cool things. So much buzz around Dover last week. It was cool. But I loved looking up and seeing everyone on their feet.
You know, speaking of that, yesterday watching the broadcast on Fox, you could really tell that when the race was over and Kyle Larson was declared the winner and he started to celebrate on the racetrack, the fans went crazy.
Yes.
Which, you know, I don't know if that's just a product of the fantastic finish that they saw, if Kyle Larson is becoming like this, you know, super uber fan favorite. I mean, I think he is a fan favorite, but that was more of like a, hey, Chase Elliott just won, you know, reaction from the crowd than what I would have expected.
I think he is now second in souvenir
sales.
And that's, Brad, what do you always say about that?
That is the most popular driver award. People can vote all day, but when you pull your wallet out and vote with the hard-earned money that you make, that is the true most popular driver award.
Well, you got that right. Coming up, one last thing.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm Kevin Harvick, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Racing country, music from the fast lane.
Hey, it's Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on Racing Country.
Hi, I'm Christopher Bell, and this is the fastest 2 hours on the radio, Racing Country. I still have a lot to prove to compete at the level that I want to compete at. We have more to accomplish in the sport, and we want to do better than what we've done the last 2 years.
Racing country, music from the fast lane.
The grassroots is where the hometown heroes of Friday and Saturday nights are, and where the future stars of NASCAR are made.
First career win for James Friesen in the TAS Racing Sportsman Series.
PRN's At the Track is a people show about the people of grassroots racing. The stories and journeys from the grassroots are always unique. PRN's At the Track covers the people of America's fattest bull rings. Hear PRN's At the Track each week on broadcast radio stations, the free PRN app, or at goprn.com.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. A little behind the scenes here as we do this show. Normally, if I'm here, I am in studio and Alexis Erickson's in studio with me. Occasionally, we'll have Jeff Hammett or Kyle Petty. Sometimes if I can't be here because PRN had the race weekend, then it's Alexis Erickson, maybe Daniel Trotta, Lee Spencer, and a group of other folks. And Brad Gilley usually works from his home studio down in Texas. Just to give you a little idea of how we put this show together. And so let's go down to the Lone Star State right now. Brad Gilley, it is time for this.
One last thing.
Look, it's a great time to be a sports fan right now, a great time to be a racing fan, obviously, with the Kentucky Derby and the Kansas race both ending in photo finishes. For me as well, it's a good time to be a Dallas-Fort Worth sports fan, as the Dallas Stars did defeat the Las Vegas Golden Knights. They move on to the next division and will take on the Colorado Avalanche. I was lucky enough to see the Texas Rangers win the World Series. Maybe we can bring another Stanley Cup back to Dallas, and dare I say, could the Dallas Cowboys actually do something this year? I don't know if I want to get that optimistic just yet, though.
Yeah. Don't go too far out on that limb, Brad.
Mr. Optimism, yeah. Well, if you were watching yesterday during the rain delay, which I'm so glad that, you know, things were able to go the way we needed them to go, and we were able to get the race in on the day that it was scheduled, you probably noticed that Richard Petty was scheduled to do the command. However, he was not able to do that because of other obligations, and Jimmy Johnson gave the command from the race car. His other obligations were the Kyle Petty charity ride, which started in North Dakota, I believe on Saturday, and is going to go all the way is going to go 1,500 miles with 150 motorcycles, and it is benefiting, of course, Victory Junction Gang Camp. I wanted to mention it because our very good friend Kyle Petty and his wife Morgan put so much into this every year. It's such a great cause, and we're just wishing them well on their ride and can't wait to have him back in studio.
And at some point in time, we're going to take this show on the road and do an edition of Fast Talk.
Yes.
From the Victory
We have been trying to
camp.
Plan it for a while, and we're gonna make it happen.
So, Brad, we're going to save that when you're in the North Carolina Tar Heel State area, and we can all go down there and let Kyle tell us firsthand about what goes on at Victory Junction and everything that happens there and the great story behind
so
that
special.
Camp. Yeah, so we promise that's coming up on a future show. Thanks a lot. Liam was working today in place of David Stiles. Kent Bernhardt. Have a great one. Harold Hamrick, Alexis Brad, I'm Doug Rice. Back next week with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. And Sunoco. Whether you're heading to the track or just hitting the road, fill up with Sunoco UltraTech. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.